Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. It's so great to have you along here on episode 73. I'm Dave Holly. Thanks for listening. You're going to be treated to Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. We talk to the creatives. On this week's show, saxophonist, director of jazz studies at Augustana University, Dr. Brian Hannigan talks about his new album that just dropped today, titled Constellation. We'll even hear a taste of it at the end of the show. Plus, we learn more about singer/actress Jess Johansson in just a few minutes. A reminder that while this is episode number 73, just a few weeks away, it's going to be number 75. That will be the Diamond episode. So to celebrate, that motley crew of modern-day vaudevillian talent, the Vaudies, going to present their April variety show, April Fool's Gold, at the Sky Lounge and Tea, Thursday, April 15th, same day episode 75 comes out, 8 p.m. showtime. Tickets are only $10. They're available at the door or in advance on paypal.me/dazzleshows. That's PayPal, all one word, .me/dazzleshows. Dazzle Shows, one word as well. Or use Venmo if you have that. And my username is @Dave-Holly-1, and that's the numeral one. Either way, please put the word gold in the comments, as there is another big show with tickets available for the same price, and we don't want you to get them confused, so when you're at the door for the Vaudies that you're not meant to be at the other place, etc. All right. That, by the way, that Vaudie show is going to be the start of three big nights at the Sky for moi. Because in addition to the 15th, then on Friday the 16th, trivia, theme to be determined. Then Saturday night the 17th, it's the Sky's Karaoke Contest Finals with $1,000 up for grabs. To mark that festification, the Dave Holly Hour will be podcasting, live for the first time prior to the finals. And we'll have the guests and the judges on the docket. And speaking of trivia, the ruggedly handsome one will be hosting It's Finally Baseball Trivia tomorrow night, Friday night at the Sky, starting at 7, with some great prizes to be had. Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty, we can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party. All right, lift up your glass of water, your cup of coffee, your mug of milk, your mug of beer, your glass of wine, your libation, whatever you may, to celebrate the start of Weekend Eve here on the Dave Holly Hour. And our toast goes out this week to Mother Nature, showing us once again you can be fickle as can be. You gave us fake spring, then we went cold and blustery for a few days, but this weekend, as we get to Easter, is forecast to be spectacular. Thank you.
Honorable mention.
Oh, you were waiting with anticipation, weren't you? I think we have a repeat winner or winners. I know I've talked about them before, but Tony and Zaya at Quality Nails, one of the sponsors of this show, they have two adorable little girls named Mylan and Lincoln. Mylan's the older, They have great smiles. They're fun. They're curious. They're always getting into things and having a great time. And they're adorable regardless. But what was so fun is a year ago, Carrie and I took part in that America Smooches promotion. A gal came into town and you could get some proofs from her and so forth of you kissing your spouse or your mate or your significant other or whoever it might be. And so Lincoln especially, I think this was really just her that kind of gets this honorable mention this week. They've both gotten it before as just being adorable. But Lincoln was looking through Miss Carrie's phone and looking at her pictures and comes over to me and says, "David, that you kiss Carrie?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "That's cute." So, Lincoln, you get this week's honorable mention for once again, just like your sister, being incredibly adorable. All right, later in the show, Brian Hannigan talks about his new album, his love for playing jazz, and teaching it. Up next, she's a singer, an actress, and brings fun and style on the stage. Jess Johansson is next on the Dave Holly Hour.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Learn more about the unpaid staff at DaveHollyHour.com.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everybody. It is such a pleasure each and every Thursday to bring you wonderful conversations with the people that are making art and theater and music and being a creative, whether it be, you know, on the canvas or on the stage. Well, here's one that does a couple of things. She's on the stage. She also can sing mighty well, too. In fact, the Goodnight Theater puts her to use on that, but she just got off being in one of the Sioux Empire Community Theater's productions. Her name is Jess Johansson. How are you?
I'm great, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being on. And, you know, it's one of those, I think you are actually on my initial list from a year and a half ago.
Oh.
And then, you know, it's just every week things change and so forth, and you're kind of hoping for the right time, and it's like, okay, we're catching just now between productions.
Yeah.
Let's do this so we can talk about one and move on to the next then.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited to be here. I've been secretly hoping you would ask me, so.
Well, I'm glad it finally came to be.
Yes.
We've made it to fruition now.
We did it.
And, of course, some people may remember you from, you know, another thing that is in, well, arts and entertainment, I don't know, but the media.
Sure.
Yes, on your days on television.
A little, yeah.
Yeah, you were back a while back, but you know, it was great stuff, but you moved on, and I just have the feeling that you are one of those that I like to say is, you're in the spot where you want to be at this moment.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, it's been a pretty great few years here in Sioux Falls. There's just been so many wonderful opportunities, and yeah, I've grown as a person and an artist here, which, you know, you wouldn't think so in Sioux Falls in some cases, but it's lush with arts here. It's wonderful.
It is. Ooh, a new word to use with a lush with arts. I like that because I'd like to talk quite often on this show about the fact that there's just been such an explosion over the past decade here.
Yes.
More artists, more venues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who would have thought that we would be watching theater in a book co-op? Or that there would be so incredibly many breweries, microbreweries, mm-hmm. locally that we could go to, and there'd be anything from improv to stand-up to music to bands to, you know, displaying art and
yeah.
so forth. So it's come a long way, that mm-hmm. is for sure. But tell us about the background of how Jess got involved in being a singer as well as an actor.
Well, the singing definitely came first.
Okay.
I very rarely consider myself a very serious actress. I sort of do it just to sort of satisfy a need to just make art with people. Mm-hmm. But singing is my first love. I've been singing since, you know, the cliche that everybody says, since I was a child, you know. Fell in love with it. Music is a big part of my family. We're all a bunch of big music nerds, classic mm-hmm. rock, as we were talking
well,
a little
yes,
earlier about Chicago.
I was going to say, I haven't met your family, but I love them already, because you come in wearing a Chicago 25-6-4 shirt.
Yep.
Tough to beat that.
Yeah. So, yeah, just listening all my life to different styles and genres of music and just wanting to sing forever. Went to college for it for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I lived in St. Louis for a few years, did radio there, worked with Radio Disney, mm-hmm. which was a wonderful job.
Oh, very cool.
And then, yeah, found my way back here in Sioux Falls. I'm from South Dakota. And yeah, I've been back for about 6 years now and sort of fell into the art scene by starting with the Sioux Empire Community Theater and meeting some wonderful people that I'm sure some of you have heard, Bob Wendland and yeah, Luke Tatchy. So yeah, it just, you know, kind of started from there.
That's great. So where did you go to college in? You said you had gone to school for
I
it.
I started at NSU in okay. Aberdeen. And then I, in my early 20s, decided I needed to get out of South Dakota. So I moved to St. Louis and finished school east of St. Louis at a school, SIUE. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Back here.
So what was it about music that made you go, ooh, I would love to do this?
I think it's just the emotional reaction it always gives me. I'm very easily moved by music. Mm-hmm. Those who know me quite well know that I'm kind of a Disney nerd. And that was one of my gateways to music, was that Disney music and the music of Alan Menken, who's one of my personal heroes. I would get so easily moved by how the melodies and, you know, the leitmotifs interchanged.
Uh-huh.
And, it felt the same way with singing. You can just emote so much through your voice. And I was very interested in how I could do that myself.
That's excellent. Well, you've certainly done it well. You've proven it here with your work with the Goodnight Theater, especially. You've been in some of the cabarets, but you're also going to be coming up playing in The Fantastics.
Yes.
That is a show I haven't seen in many years, but I have seen it several times. And just absolutely love it. And of course, you know, it has some great memorable songs in there. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to about being in that production?
It's going to be very unique. I think what's exciting about this is for audience members like yourself who've seen it several times, this is going to be a completely different version. I mean, simply starting with I'm playing one of the dads. So now it's a gender
You're
swapped.
Huckleby, if I'm not
yes,
mistaken.
Yes, that is yeah. correct. Yes. So there's that. And we're making it very modern, which is also very cool. So it's taking place in current times, but, you know, it's a tale as old as time, you know, unrequited love and family rivalries. And it's kind of fun to play with how that can be interpreted.
Yeah. What do you like about the story and the way that you said, you know, it's going to be different? You're playing a male part.
Yeah.
But also by the same fact, you're going to be outside on this one, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting, too. If you're familiar with the show, it, you know, is primarily outside. Mm-hmm. So I think that will just be sort of an enhanced experience for the audience. And it's going to be interactive in other ways, which is going to be very fun to play
with. Oh, my.
So be on guard, I guess, if you're there.
I was just going to say, watch out.
We'll be respectful, I promise.
Pick the heavy guy in the front row.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
See, I am one of those that I go to something like that, and it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. You can usually tell
along.
Who's kind of down to just play around with you, yeah. And the people who are like, don't talk to me.
We look forward to that then. But you were just in, you know, speaking of doing theater in a different way, Neil Simon's Odd Couple, the female version.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful. Debbie was such a joy to work with as a director. If I'm being honest, like I kind of mentioned, I'm a little green in the acting mm-hmm. art. So I sort of wanted this as an opportunity to do something that didn't involve singing or music, which mm-hmm. I sometimes use as like an outlet to act, I guess. So it was a great exercise in that. And especially so because we worked with two separate casts. Each cast got a weekend on stage. And I was in cast two initially. The person who was playing my part in cast one, we had to swap. And so it was an interesting acting exercise that way, because it was sort of a cast already in progress that had worked together. And I sort of just like airdropped in like, hi, I'm your new prop to play with. So but everybody was lovely and supportive and just as classic, you know, community theater folks are just.
And that's been one thing that they've done recently is having the dual cast and so forth for a specific reason. You know, first of all, the social distancing and everything else. Regrettably, I missed your performance then.
I know. I
specifically asked, which one are you going to be in?
I know.
Tickets. No, Jess.
I know.
But it was so great.
Yes.
And that's what's fun. And I was able to see Debbie Jones a few days later and, you know, compliment her on it because I thought it was wonderful. And, you know, the thing is, right now with all of that, you know, having masks, having shields and so forth, the blocking of a play is so different now when you're trying to abide by that. How did that work for you as somebody that, you know, per se, you admittedly say not the acting chops, but want to do more with it?
I think it was kind of nice to sort of just start fresh in a way. Like there's this new set of rules. Like we're all just going to play by this new set of rules. It's going to take a little bit of a learning curve. And I think that made me feel a little more comfortable in a strange way because we were all sort of needing to be on the same level, so to speak. For me personally, it was hard to resist the temptation to like touch people and, you know, get close. But yeah, it took some getting used to, but it was a fun challenge.
So did you do any theater when you were in high school or college?
Oh, definitely.
For the musical specifically?
Yeah, okay. I did a few non-musical plays in high school, usually as just like a small comedic, like, part that just kind of came in and then came out quickly. But a lot of musicals. Yeah, I did a few shows in high school, like Bye Bye Birdie. My first gender swapped role was Wizard of Oz. I played the Scarecrow in high school. I'm sensing a theme. They put me in a lot of.
So have you done Shakespeare then?
I was just going to say, I guess maybe I need to do
You got to go over to Bear Bodkins.
Yeah. Ooh, there we go. Maybe like a Much Ado About Nothing gender swapped or something. But anyway, and then a few others in college and things like that.
Okay. So. What's been your favorite role or show that you have been in?
That's tricky. I mean, especially here in Sioux Falls, like I feel like I found my absolute heart's desire with these Goodnight Cabarets, just being the music nerd and getting to sing just so many different styles of music. Like that is always just such a thrill. We haven't started production on this show yet, but I almost want to say the Iconic Cabaret is going to be my favorite show once we're done, just because the set list of that show is insane. Oh gosh, Rent has a pretty special place in my heart because that's where I met Bob and met a lot of the other Goodnight vets, and it was a very challenging musical to do, but so fun. We got very close. Heather's was also great. I played Martha Dunstock in that role or in that musical, and that was a fun challenge as well. Whew, I didn't give you an exact answer. That's very hard.
You know? It's not, you know, there's no, you know, grading scale that's going to be sent on to another theater or anything. Well, Jess doesn't like that. It's just we're having a conversation about what you like and enjoy, and it's the fun part for me to learn that about our guests on this show as to what they really got into, what they want to do, and so forth. So that's the next question. What's the role you want to do?
Ooh. I do have a few bucket list ones. If I play my cards right, hopefully one of them will come to fruition this coming spring, which is The Witch and Into the Woods.
Oh, my.
We rescheduled that one, so I'm hoping that I get to reprise that casting. Again, Sondheim, I'd love to be Mrs. Lovett at some point. I guess one of my like guilty pleasure parts would definitely be Elphaba from Wicked, just because that was one of my like gateway drugs into musical theater was Wicked. So yeah, those would probably be some of my top three.
So what are the skills you believe you bring to a performance or to a show?
Ooh, I think my voice can be very flexible and can be sort of like a utility part, especially with some of these goodnight cabarets. I've done a lot of male singing, and I've done a lot of like up to the steeple high singing. So it's kind of fun to just stretch and see how far that can go. So I think that would be one asset I bring, is just being able to sort of fit into wherever people need me.
Flexibility is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
very, very true.
I love to say that my favorite roles in musical theater, because I am not a dancer, are the park and bark roles, where you sort of just show up, sing an amazing like barn burner of a song, and then just thank you very much and take off.
That wouldn't be enough time for you, though, would it? Let's think about this seriously.
I don't know. It depends on the song and the role.
Okay, because you know, when it comes to those cabarets, you end up being in probably at least a dozen, because they usually have close to 20 songs in those.
Yeah.
You may not be the lead each time, but
Yeah, oh, definitely. I've said before, too, that one of my dream jobs is to be like a famous background singer, just because I love singing those like ooh la la's and like.
Can you snap the fingers?
Clicking in with the harmonies. See,
there
that's about the extent of my dancing skills, is like background dancer moves. But.
Well, that's okay. I know. Simon Flaws can dance for the entire world.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He has more energy than anybody I've ever met in my life.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And we talked about that last week with Luke and Bob about the Fantastics coming
up.
It's like, oh, yeah, there will be some dance then, won't there?
Yes, there will. I can fake it pretty well when it comes to showtime, but it's a challenge game. Into that point.
What is it like in rehearsals for you? Do you have a process other than just following what the director has, or do you kind of have a mental psych that goes on throughout that time frame?
Well, I will say, as far as Goodnight's concerned, Luke, who usually is the music director or director, and other people have directed as well, Bob, they give us a lot of freedom to sort of play around with different things. So typically I try to prepare what I think I'm going to do with a song coming into it, but all of that gets formed when the other people are involved and the other chemistry. And, so I guess that's sort of my process. I sort of am just open to criticism and being molded into whatever people need from me.
You know, that's a great point. We don't talk a lot about it, but you not necessarily have to have thick skin, but you do have to be able to take a critique. Mm-hmm. I don't like to say criticism, because that's usually coming from left field, from somebody that, you know, probably shouldn't be critiquing anything.
Right.
But you do have to be able to learn and grow from critiques.
Yes. And I thrive on that, especially in terms of singing. I never want to quit trying to be a better singer. I mean, I'm constantly trying new techniques and trying new things. And it seems like with every show that Goodnight presents me with, there's a different challenge for me to work through. And that's such a blessing to be able to continue to learn the craft. So
what haven't you done yet in a theater perspective that you would like to? We've already talked about roles and so forth, but just in, you know, is there a particular thing you'd like? Would you like to direct? Would you like to be a music coordinator?
Directing, well, music coordinating would be interesting. The only thing is I don't play piano entirely well. I've been trying to practice more since college, but I can fake it pretty well once again playing chords. But yeah, I suppose directing or helping to put together a show would be very fun. It'd be fun to put together like a set list for a cabaret or put together some sort of show. But we'll see. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing with the cabarets that Goodnight has done. The themes that they come up with are, first of all, awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And you sit there as you go through a season getting all their different themes and thinking to yourself, like, they should really do a cabaret about blank.
Yeah.
And what's your, if they should really do a cabaret about blank, fill in the blank for me, Jess.
Well, the first one that comes to mind stems from, again, another shout out to my family. We do this thing called the music game, where we'll pull up YouTube and say, like, everybody has to play a song with, the example I immediately thought of is like a person's name is in the title. So maybe like, okay. I don't know, like, hi, my name is Cabaret or something. And it's got like Amanda by Boston and, you know, Oh Sherry by Steve Perry or something. I don't know.
That would be a good one.
And, yeah,
and again, probably pretty endless too.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely. And it's even when I'm listening to the radio now, I think stuff, oh, that's a name song, you know. Sarah Smile, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Hall & Oates.
See?
There we go. Liking that. I'm digging this already.
Yeah.
So we're going to put in a little closed circuit here to Luke and Bob, the name Cabaret.
We're just workshopping here, boys. Workshopping. Please don't.
Yep, yeah. Like, we could really tell them what to do. They already got a little creativity in them.
I know. Yeah. I know. They don't need any help in that department.
That's for sure. So what is your go-to song? Ooh. If you're out, and this is kind of a loaded question because I did notice that you do karaoke sometimes.
Oh, I love karaoke.
So do I.
Yes.
What's the go-to?
I have a few. They're kind of like my show-off songs, if you will. I love to do Alone by Heart. Mm-hmm. I love to do Oh Darlin' by the Beatles.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I love doing that song. And then my very guilty pleasure is Fallen by Alicia Keys. I love doing that one.
Great
as well.
Great tune, yeah. Do you end up doing a lot more, though, if you go out and you're going to sing a whole bunch at a karaoke? Do you end up singing more rock songs? Or because of the background, do you do a lot of show tune type things and so forth?
It depends on who I'm with as far as like the show tune element.
Reading the room, huh?
Right. There's been a couple times where I've gone in with theater people and the other patrons of the bar are like, really? More show tunes? Like, so it just sort of depends. But yeah, I've run the gamut on some of that stuff, from the extremely weird to the, okay, everybody quiet, I'm taking this seriously right now. And then I like sing My Heart Will Go On or something.
So you're very emotional. You love to sing for emotion.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big part of your talent and MO, if sure. You want to use that. But, you know, what's out there you have to sing at some point in your life?
Ooh, let's see. I do have a song bucket list of mine. One thing I would really like to do more of is Eurythmics / Annie Lennox. Mm,
Annie Lennox is awesome.
Yes. Like Walking on Broken Glass or... There, I just did that one now.
Oh, could we? Check something off Jess's bucket list today on the show.
I have a couple like duets I would love to do. Like I'd love to do I Knew You Were Waiting for Me with Aretha and George Michael. Yeah, there's a few things like that that I would really like to do. I'm not going to lie. Again, another plug for June. There's a few on my bucket list that I'm going to get to do in
June. That will be there.
Yes.
Oh, look forward to that then. Who do you look up to musically as a singer?
My big three are Judy Garland, Whitney Houston, and Kelly Clarkson.
Oh.
I just love her because I was such a nerd for American Idol. That was like right when I was in high school, that show. And I just related to her so much. And she's just this humble little thing doing whistle tones and singing like Aretha. And I'm like, yes, yes. So
we took
her.
Our youngest daughter to see her at the Iowa State Fair. Ooh, probably about 11 years ago now.
Sure. Yeah. She was doing state fairs probably 09.
Yeah. So fun stuff. All right. Always like to end with a couple of regular questions.
Sure.
Sometimes question one ends up being question two as well.
Okay.
But so the first one is, when you're not out performing and entertaining for others, what do you like to be entertained by?
I love comedy. Anybody who's just given it their all with whatever they're doing, I get so moved and appreciate that.
Passion.
Yes. Passion. Yes. Because I share that, you know, with people and I can recognize it in other people when they're doing something that they absolutely love. Like that's just such a beautiful thing to see. Whether it be dancing, acting or singing, you know, but again, you know, music's my first love. So anytime I see somebody just like killing it with music, I can't get enough of it.
Excellent. All right. And then the follow up is, besides entertaining and full time job, what do you have for hobbies?
Let's see. I do like watching a lot of movies. I try to watch all of the nominated Oscar pictures every year. I only have two left so far this year.
Which ones?
Mank and The Father.
I haven't seen The Father yet, but Mank was good.
Okay. Yeah. I need to hear this.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of time. I have a couple of weeks, but I'm going to try and fit those in. So movies, I like to draw every once in a while. Not that I'm terribly good at it. But yeah, just hanging out with my friends. Hopefully now that the weather's getting nicer, I can visit some national parks and do some hiking. And yeah, checking out other people's art is another hobby. So
excellent. Well, we appreciate your hobbies, but we appreciate your talent. And thank you for your time today, Jess, for being on the Dave Holly Hour. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but All Caps Fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everybody. You know, earlier we were talking to Jess Johansson about being on stage, being in musicals, and her singing ability. We're going to change that over to playing a reed instrument, playing it well, and having a new album come out today here on this Thursday. Brian Hannigan from Augustana University, how are you?
Hey, Dave, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure. Exciting. Well, and it's exciting for me because I think we first talked, several months ago. We know that.
A couple months back.
And it was like, okay, when are we going to get you on? And then you've had so much going on with a new album coming out and everything that it took many emails and messaging back and forth, but we finally got it.
We were steadfast.
Yes, we kept at it. We persevered.
We got it done. And actually, the timing actually now works out really
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. So. We could talk about it, that you have this new album, Constellations, correct?
Constellation.
All right. And what is involved in, first of all, the process of saying, I want to make an album, to getting to the point of having an album to promote?
Well, I think it starts with, ideas. And so I had some ideas that I wanted to get down. And you know what I mean? Like all musicians have tons of ideas, you know, going through their minds. And I just decided I wanted to get certain things collected formally, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so by like formally collecting ideas, you gotta plan everything out. You gotta create charts. Hire, or if you're writing for, like what I was doing is I had the guys in mind that I was wanting to work with, you know? Mm-hmm. And so kind of getting personnel ideas can help the writing process. So I, you know, getting the personnel in order and then kind of just thinking about, okay, I've got these ideas. What does this look like? That's kind of how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
You never know how it's going to finish.
You know what I mean? Work in progress, as I say.
And every artist, that initial starting point is going to look a little different. For instance, for me, one of the tunes was a riff that I had on my horn, that I thought of on the horn. So I was, you know, probably just shedding, practicing something like this. And then I played a riff that I sort of thought was kind of hip and then worked with that versus like another tune and several other tunes I wrote strictly at the piano versus with the horn, to give you an idea of like how that interest or those musical ideas might come to someone is going to be totally unique to that person. Yeah.
But, all right. So before we get into other parts of it all and so forth, tell us, where do we find this album?
So it's coming out, as you said, April 1st, this Thursday, which is today.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it on any of the major, major digital media platforms. Yeah, okay. Right now, it's only a digital release. currently. So okay. That means you can find it obviously on iTunes, Amazon, Bandcamp, Spotify,
Pandora,
okay. and I think through there's the like list. 137 more streaming platforms or something. Wow. You can find it quite a few
incredible,
places.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Well, that's great. What did it feel like when you said that's a wrap?
A couple of people have asked me that, and I think you're just kind of like, wow. I saw it's almost like you. Okay, we got to leave it there. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if any artist is always...
Is ever 100,000%, you know?
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, hey, we got to leave it here and move on.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, I think we captured exactly what we were trying to get out of it. So.
And you captured what you were hoping to get out of those that you'd hired that you had in mind.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even Ruben Rodriguez?
Even that cat, Ruben Rodriguez.
The triple R.
Oh, man. That guy is such a... He is just like being around him is just amazing.
It is. How you can you not smile?
He's so positive. He's just got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's remarkably fun to work with.
Yeah. And he told
and
me
super,
to call
super super talented too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And he told me to call you Hambone.
Did he?
Yeah.
That goes back a long way.
So you had talented people, you've got it to put together. Was that recorded here?
It was recorded.
Warehouse?
The warehouse, yeah.
Okay. With Mark Dom?
With Mark.
Yeah.
Mark did all the audio stuff at the warehouse and stuff. So that was amazing. And that was the first time I've ever worked with Mark too.
Yeah. Another great guy. Man, I tell you, that's the thing that I love about this show, doing this, is the endless talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable how many incredibly talented people are in this community,
totally.
In the arts and entertainment, and not just in it, but also many of them making their living doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
Yeah. And I think, for us, when someone says, what is one of the most unique things about the album, I always go back to, well, this is music made in South Dakota by musicians that are from here.
Mm-hmm.
And we take pride in that. You know what I mean? It, contributing to our arts culture here is something we want to do, and we're happy about that. I'm proud of it.
All original?
It's all original stuff, yep.
Excellent. That is a good thing. So you have to tell me now, since it's your stuff mm-hmm. and you have the copyright to it, mm-hmm. which one can I play on a podcast where you normally don't get to play any copyrighted music unless it's explicit?
You can play any of them you want.
Any of them, probably.
There's a couple tunes that are like slow jams or like slower tunes. There's a couple faster ones, and then there's two right in the middle that are just kind of funky, groovy.
Excellent. How many total tracks?
There's six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lot of work to put in, especially since you've got a full time job as being director of jazz studies at Augustana.
Yeah.
So your doctorate has paid off for itself.
It certainly prepares you for or tools you up for the things that you're going to encounter. Yeah.
What do you like to tell a freshman at Augie that comes in and they're all hyped up and say, man, I just want to be this big jazz star?
Are you willing to put in the work?
Uh-huh.
a lot of students, number one, I just try to help students create however I can help that and maybe help them find their voice in music. A lot of students come in and they've got a lot of things going on. And, when you ask them, okay, what's your voice? What's your vision? What do you want to do? That's what I'm trying to help with. And then obviously when I know what they're looking to get out of things, then I can tool them up to hopefully, that pairs well with what they're trying to do creatively.
All right. So you get an idea as to how much you need to push them, where you need to push them, mm-hmm. and so forth.
But it has to come from it has to come from the student first.
Mm-hmm.
They have to like essentially identify who I am as an artist, where am I trying to go, what are my deficiencies, and blah, 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 that kind of thing. So that, and that's also part of my job, is to help them find out and discover some of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What did you discover about yourself when you started getting heavy into music?
That it's incredibly humbling. It'll humble you. It's just, but it's such a rewarding journey. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people say that, but it's just like this. studying music is something where you don't, there's no end game to it. So you're kind of just always searching for the next, it's not the next thing, but you're just always searching and being creative. You're trying to always stay fresh and trying to stay into that like sort of creative mindset. Because it's easy to get into a rut too. So
you are primarily a saxophonist.
Yep.
Was that the first instrument, or did you learn piano first, or what route did all the musicality take in your journey?
It came from the horn first.
Okay.
I didn't study any music until I picked up the saxophone in fifth grade, which was very traditional. A lot of right. students studied at fifth grade. They could study in band, you know, and stuff. And I picked the sax, and that's where it started. And then some other instruments came up. Being a saxophonist, some of the repertoire requires you to double on flute and clarinet and some things. Mm-hmm. And you know, artistically, I'm not I'm not the greatest flute or clarinet player out there. I can make them work and I can double on them in certain settings. But you're not going to want to hire me potentially to be like a cat on Broadway that does all these multiple woodwind things. You're going to want to hire a cat that does that. You know what I mean? Because like there's so many hyper specialties in music, and there's people that do multiple woodwinds as their profession.
True. Yeah. It is amazing, you know, that there's specialties and then there's specialists and then there's specialty specialists. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy how drawn out it can be or how niche it could be either way. So you started with that sax. What made you choose that?
Well, I recalled an experience when I was in grade school, you know, like where they do those full school assemblies. This is K-5.
Right.
The K-5 full school assemblies. And I think it was like Roosevelt High School's jazz band came through during their Christmas programming thing. And this gal came up in the jazz band and blew this sax solo over a Christmas. I don't remember what tune it was, but it was a Christmas tune. And she was playing an improvised solo over it. And I was just like, it resonated with me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want to do that. That looks amazing. And then I started doing that. And my parents got me a bunch of records of all these sax players. Dave Sanborn. I think I had like every Dave Sanborn record that was out there. But... and then they got me a piano too. My parents eventually got me a piano, and that was a game changer. I will say really? That. So if anyone's out there
in the study of music per se, or how so?
I think the piano is important. It's like the, in my opinion, the basic foundation of any music making. If you have some prowess of any kind on the piano, it will help you in anything that you're doing musically.
So you can at least know where middle C is and progress from that.
You're making so many like connections like in your brain that you're not even maybe even realizing when you're playing the piano, because you're working out voicings, you're working out harmony, you're thinking about voice leading through things. That's counterpoint. Okay, now you're into like a whole big theory ball of wax, and all you've really done is just simply, oh, that progression sounded real nice. And you get these progressions that sound real nice. And then you get to a point you're like, oh, okay, why did it sound real nice? And they start looking at their fingers going, well, that's right. This voicing sounds real hip because X, Y, and Z. And all of that stuff is going on. And then they're like, oh, these progressions. Now we can write tunes because the blues is only three chords. You know what I'm saying? Like all of that stuff is happening versus like sometimes if you only take it from a horn perspective, mm-hmm. Well, that's a monophonic instrument. And so if you've never studied some of these things independent from the horn, that connection has never been made yet. And they can't see it. Like on a piano, like you can visually see it versus on a horn. Sometimes it complicates things because they're so worried about creating sound with their lungs and all that.
You know, one thing I've often wanted to ask a saxophonist, you know, we hear from guitar players that practice so much, you know, and play so much, mm-hmm. basically the fingers are calloused.
Oh, yeah.
You get that as a horn player, too?
Those cats, like guitar cats, will callous up all their fingers, yeah. And they have all those crazy things where they'll use that, like, super glue, and, like, when they bust open, they can super glue them. They have all their tricks. Sax players, what you'll get, well, you know, obviously good playing is you're trying to stay as free as you can there. You're not trying to, like, crazy bite or anything. But you know, a 3 hour session is a 3 hour session. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so any horn player will fatigue some, and where we would get it is like on the bottom lip. There's a bite, like there'll be an indentation there, and some sax cats will have that all calloused up and ready to go. You know what I mean? So cats that play
but not necessarily something you want to put super glue on.
No. Not for that. And then some cats have some different tricks that, you know, that they can put like a little bite guard in there that can help, like just like a little cushion maybe, mm-hmm. to help that tension and whatever. And
Well, you know, one of the things that is so great about jazz, first of all, it being a true American music, mm-hmm. but the improvisation that comes along, and totally. Especially when you go see somebody play jazz. At what point did you realize that you could improvise? Because you said that was kind of what gave you an idea of liking it, was the improvisation.
That's what drew me into it to start with, was this gal came up and was blowing a solo over a Christmas tune, and I'm like, what is she doing? And it sounded amazing to me. I had no idea. And then I get these Sanborn records, and I'm like, oh, this is, what's going on, all this stuff. And then I remember getting Arturo Sandoval records. But I think improvisation is the essence of jazz music, in my opinion. I think, you know, that's what defines if what jazz is versus what it isn't, if you ask me. I mean, and there's some other things that go into what I feel like is quote unquote jazz, but improvisation at the end of the day is the core element. It's quintessential. You got to have it or it's not jazz music, in my estimation.
But where was it that you said to yourself, wow, I did that. I can do this. And
well,
I
wasn't any good at this for a long, long time. Let's be very, very clear. Like I struggled with this, and I took lessons, and you know, I got hot about it, real hot about it in high school is when I really started, like, you know what, this is me, I'm doing this. And it was like, I remember my parents, I was working on altissimo and these high notes on my horn and the squeaks and all the stuff was coming out. They'd put me out in the garage. They're like, man, you got to go out in the garage. You're making so much noise and you're squeaking and racking and all stuff. It was probably sometime in high school around, I don't know. It's hard to say, but sophomore, somewhere like the real big, like I'm going for this. I want this. This is like exactly who I want to do, who I am. Probably somewhere between sophomore and before my senior year, somewhere between sophomore year and senior year, something like that.
What made you want to teach?
I think the teaching component for me came a little bit later. I was always hot wanting to be a performer, being a player, and I wanted to get this performing career. I had these dreams of seeing the world and all these things, and you know, like anyone would. And so I sort of was living the poor man's version of that, if you will. I you know, when I was in college, I got hired in this rock band, this summer review show band at Valley Fair in mm-hmm. the Twin Cities. And I did that for a couple summers, 3 years, three summers, and helped, you know, kind of paid my way through my undergraduate degree. And then I, a lot of my friends from that were getting on cruise lines to do similar things in different capacities and whatever. And so I was like, well, that sounds really interesting. And that's a performing career. And I could see the world and make music and do other stuff. And I'm like, okay. So I auditioned for Carnival and Royal and ended up doing that for a couple of years. So I got right out of my undergraduate degree and started performing a bunch, a couple of years. And then I wanted to tool up again. And I went back to graduate school. And then at that time was, you know, the first time that I was really seriously teaching others. And I was teaching them for them getting credit through a university. So it was like, oh, crap, like this is serious. Yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I was doing it as a hobby. It was like uh-huh. very. And so I was like, and I enjoyed that. And then I got back on a ship again. And then I you know, I really enjoyed the journey of being in college. And so then I wanted to tool up again, and I went back and I got my DM, my doctorate in music. And then specifically, I wanted to learn more about how to teach jazz music pedagogically to others. And I tooled up hard in graduate education, you know, learning how to coach people to talk through what you do and how you do it. And that was important to me. And now I'm sort of it all encompassing. I think of it more of like, I'm always a teacher of the horn. And but part of being a teacher of the horn is also being a player of the horn, because the playing of the horn also helps you become a teacher. Because if you can play something, you can kind of, it's hard to explain, but if you can play something, you can hopefully know what that feels like to help others tool up. And then pedagogically, the graduate education is going to help you with like, what's going on the insides of your mouth and things like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some very more like scientific pedagogy to help people as well. But I would suppose some in graduate school and just maybe just the whole experience of studying a horn, you're almost a teacher by default.
Teaching yourself.
Yeah, it's almost like you're a teacher by default, because you're always going to be asking someone, how did they do something? And then you get it, and someone is going to be asking that to you. So kind of like, even the cats out there that are the hardcore players that don't necessarily have a teaching gig, those cats are still teachers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
What was your first paying gig?
I don't know. I think I must have gotten a gig or two before I was in college. But nothing like out publicly. I think I made like $100 once to play Happy Birthday. I think I have this, right at a family reunion thing, and someone said, "Hey, if you," and I don't even know if it was ever negotiated that I was going to make $100. I think I just got like $100 stuck in my pocket after I played that Happy Birthday.
But obviously, you go, "Hey, that's cool."
And then I thought like, well, that's pretty sweet. Yeah, right?
But how's the curriculum for jazz at Augie? And what have you brought to it? And what are the different types of classes that you teach in that then?
So at Augustana, there's a couple different courses that we offer that have specific jazz connections. Obviously, you know, first and foremost, ensembles where students can play. There's the jazz, the Northlanders Jazz Ensemble, which has a rich history. And so with that, the big band, they'll play several concerts a year of all different types of jazz music from, you know, the 19 teens all the way to, you know, well, to give you an idea, music that I just wrote that's coming out today.
Yeah.
They've prepped that. And so it's an all encompassing program from a performer standpoint. And then there's also a jazz combo, you know, a smaller version of the big band. And then there's a blues, jazz and rock history course that students can also take. And then we do have some applied jazz instructors as well. So then students can take applied jazz studying and lessons on instruments as well and improvisation. Yeah.
All right. So again, you've got your teaching duties, and that takes you even further away sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you've got the playing and the performing that you do in and around town, and the album coming out today. And how do you like to describe your jazz?
That's interesting. This record in particular definitely is or has rock influence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just standalone, straight ahead jazz, if you will. It has like jazz rock vibes or jazz pop vibes or R&B vibes. And so I think for this one, what people will hear and hopefully what I want them to hear is something that is relatable to all audiences, that anyone can pick it up and like groove with it or resonate with it, that there's a singable melody, maybe is the best way to say it. A singable melody with a groove. And then for like more hardcore jazz cats, that the improvisational element in it, hopefully there's something in it for them as well. More serious listeners, if you will.
All right, excellent. And then two questions I always like to end with. First of all, when you're not, doing your part to further arts and entertainment, what do you like to be entertained by?
A number of different things. I like magic. I like going to magic shows. David Copperfield I've seen his show twice. Obviously, his shows are in Vegas and stuff. Yeah. But I'm a fan of basically any art, any entertainment. Mm-hmm. Magic, for some reason, is I'm a big fan of. I like supporting other other musicians locally as mm-hmm. well. I'm just such a fan of just going down to local clubs in town, and it's like, oh, here's some of my friends doing their thing.
Right.
I love that too. And so, yeah, man.
And then aside from that, then, any other hobbies?
Sports. I love the Lakers. I love all things Lakers. I love fantasy football. I do fantasy basketball, fantasy sports. I do all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, when you do fantasy sports and all that, like follow the Vikings too. You're always looking up stats and trying to stay ahead of your friends and all that stuff. So I suppose like that, you know, that's something like totally not musically related at all that I like. That I enjoy is sports and doing the fantasy stuff with friends and that, yeah. I like that stuff.
All right. Well, we like what you do for this community. Thank you so much, Brian Hannigan, Director of Jazz Studies at Augustana University, and also your new album coming out today.
Yeah, sincere appreciation for having me on, Dan. Oh, really,
anytime. You'll be back. Don't worry.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation. 605-332-9235 or XO Kairos.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XL Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40 square foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Hey, thanks again for listening. Certainly appreciate it. Now, before we get to the normal thank yous that we typically run down, which will include another thank you to you as a listener, let's hear a little bit of the new album that just came out today from Dr. Brian Hannigan. It has six different tunes on it. This is a sampling of the song Groovy. And this is the title album, the album title song, I should say, Constellation. And this is available on all those platforms that you typically think of. It's on Apple Music. You can find it on Amazon Music, Pandora, Spotify, all those, and so forth. So there's a sampling of some of the music that you can hear from Dr. Brian Hannigan. He is the Director of Jazz Studies at Augustana University in Sioux Falls. Additionally, gets out and plays a lot, and he is great to hear live in concert. As a good friend is so fond of saying, live music is good for the soul. And for me, jazz music is good for the soul. So thank you again to Dr. Brian Hannigan for spending time with us today. Also to Jess Johansson. Boy, couldn't you just hear the smile in her voice, huh? Yeah, what a great young lady, and talented too. I am so blessed that I have great guests on this show. And so thank you, anybody that's ever been on this show. For those of you that still are going to be on this show, there's plenty of you out there yet. Don't worry, I'll get to you. Additionally, thank you for being such an integral part, for listening to this show, for the downloads, the shares, the streams, going on Facebook and also Instagram and Twitter. You'll find us on those. And we also have a website for the show, specifically DaveHollyHour.com. If you'd like to find out what else I do in the entertainment venues, go to DaveHolly.com. If you're on one and you want to get to the other, don't worry. It'll be pretty ding-dang easy to get to it. I guarantee you that. All right. Also, thank you so much to our friends at Woodgrain Brewery, Frontier Bank, and also Agua Fresh.
9th and Phillips in Sioux Falls, for that lovely, wonderful area that they have that allows us to have some great conversations about arts and entertainment. That's going to do it for this week. I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.